I'm Julia Caron.
And I'm Jared Golub, and welcome to episode 9 of the Washington Bullpen.
We've got another packed episode after we've just gotten back from spring break. We're talking the March for Our Lives.
We're going to be covering the recent Facebook leaks. We've got some info for you on Mark Zuckerberg testifying before Congress.
We'll also be talking about the Stormy Daniels appearance on 60 Minutes over the weekend.
First things first, the March for Our Lives. I was in attendance providing coverage for Capital News Service. Check it out on my Twitter. That's at Jared Golub. There were over 800,000 people there, as most news sources are reporting. And this is almost as much as the Women's March last January.
Yeah, I think it's actually pretty impressive that, you know, mostly teenagers and young people were the ones who organized this march. And for people who have been unaware of this, most of these students from the Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, are marching because they want stricter gun laws passed in the United States. And they're also marching against the National Rifle Association for kind of sitting on their hands and doing nothing and standing by while 17 of their classmates died.
Specifically, some of the things they're looking for are universal background checks, a ban on high-capacity magazines, and potentially even a ban on assault weapons.
But it wasn't just kids who wanted change, too. Some of their parents and some teachers even voiced their opinions on, you know, why they want gun control.
My name is Katie, K-A-T-I-E, Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R. I'm from Tacoma Park, Maryland. Our oldest started kindergarten this fall, and so this issue of school shootings has become much closer to at least my heart, probably both of our hearts. You know, I've always thought it was awful, and I've always wanted and voted for better gun control. But now it's real. Our kindergartner comes home and tells us about lockdown drills. And what kind of world is that? That's terrible.
They got a win recently when President Trump signed the Omnibus Spending Bill for fiscal year 2018. The bill provides clarity on the Dickey Amendment, a clause placed into a 1996 law that prohibited government organizations from using funding to advocate or promote gun control. However, this year's omnibus spending bill clarifies that to say that it does not prohibit research, so the CDC now has the authority to continue their research on gun violence. However, the bill does not provide funds for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to do this. That has to be appropriated by Congress.
Yeah, but I think one thing that's very interesting about all of the requests that these kids are making, from, you know, universal background checks to banning high-capacity magazines to, you know, having an assault weapons ban, is that the majority of Americans agree with those steps. A Quinnipiac poll found that 97% of, you know, people who took the poll said that they wanted universal background checks. Most people want a ban on high-capacity magazines. Most people want an assault weapons ban, and a lot of marchers who had guns said, you know, we don't want people contorting, you know, having an assault weapon into having just a normal gun or hunting.
Will McPhail, 37, D.C. resident. Myself and so many others grew up hunting and using weapons for as part of our culture, kind of becoming more deeply involved with our family and things of that nature. I think weapons of war and background checks and a number of very sensible things could be put in place to protect the lives, to protect us from guns.
One thing that is interesting about this march is that because it was spearheaded by kids, there's some weird rumors and misinformation going around about who these kids are and what these kids are about. A lot of people remember the photo from Britney Spears in 2007 where she had shaved her head and she was using an umbrella to, you know, hack open a pickup truck door. And people on the far right are saying that that is Emma Gonzalez. But if you take a look at the photos of each of them, they're not the same person. That kind of misinformation is getting spread about these kids kind of all over the place. Like, they're, you know, crisis actors, or the David Hogg, who's a student journalist there, who filmed his classmates while they were hiding in place, wasn't actually at the school there. So there's a lot of misinformation characterizing these kids as bad people when all they're trying to do is, you know, make their voices heard.
And make their voices heard they have. The impact of this march and the impact that these kids are having can be seen everywhere. They're on the cover of Time magazine, and they've caused even former members of the judiciary to believe in repealing the Second Amendment. Former Justice John Paul Stevens supported this in an op-ed that he wrote for the New York Times on March 27th.
Yeah, he said that, you know, the law needs to catch up to what people are thinking today, that the Constitution is, you know, a living and breathing document, and that the only way that the protesters are going to get what they actually want, which is some form of gun control, to have the NRA not have a real platform to stand on, would be to repeal the Second Amendment. In his opinion piece, he called it a relic. That's pretty strong language.
Definitely, especially coming from someone who served as a judge and is an expert on the Constitution. Up next, we'll be talking about the Facebook info leak and the hearings that are going on with that. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook CEO, has agreed to testify in at least one of the congressional hearings that are going to take place. If you don't know, what's going on here is that Cambridge Analytica, a data firm, got information from Facebook about their users, and the firm and Facebook are in trouble because Cambridge Analytica said they would delete it, and they haven't. So now they're all in some deep water over that.
Right, and part of the reason this is important is it wasn't just, you know, like maybe a million people here, a million people there. This is nearly 50 million users, and the way that Cambridge Analytica was able to get some of this information is, do you remember Farmville?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. So when you register for Farmville or, you know, a quiz on what your Harry Potter house is, Facebook requests that it has access to certain aspects of your data, things like your birthday, maybe your relationship status, anything that they would really want. And when you click that box that says, you know, I agree, you're handing over your information to them. And that's how Cambridge Analytica came across a lot of this data.
Right. And it's not just apps on Facebook. There's also third-party apps that Facebook is connected with, such as GroupMe or Instagram, which Facebook actually owns, that could also potentially be leaking data. So this has led Facebook to sort of streamline their privacy settings. There's now a new centralized hub that was put in place on March 28th, and that's supposed to help people remove data that they don't want to be seen.
Yeah. I think one of the big things that people don't really realize, and I mean, my dad told me this when I was really little and when I first started using the internet, was that, you know, the internet's written in permanent pen, and even if you think some of your data is deleted, it probably isn't. A lot of these companies have massive servers, and where they get their money from is, you know, targeting people with ads based on their data. For example, if I go to, like, jcrew.com and I want to buy a new t-shirt for CNS, I think it looks cute, Facebook will then start targeting me with ads for jcrew or for that t-shirt or for a similar t-shirt or something like that. And a lot of times that's because when you make a Facebook page, they send you a terms and conditions page, you know, that thing where it says, you know, I accept the terms and conditions below, and you don't actually read it. You should actually read it, because what you're doing is you're giving your info away for free to all of these people. So, update for everyone. Read the terms and conditions pages so you understand to not give away your data.
Last up on this week's episode, we're going to be talking about Stormy Daniels' interview on 60 Minutes. The interview was conducted by Anderson Cooper, and unlike some of her previous interviews that have seemed pretty biased against her.
Pretty campy, too.
Yeah, very sort of Gossip Maggie, but on broadcast interviews. Unlike the previous interviews, this 60 Minutes interview was very well done, and it's caused a lot of people to rethink her credibility.
And for people who don't know who Stormy Daniels is, Daniels, also known as Stephanie Clifford, is a porn star and actress who allegedly slept with President Trump right after Melania had Barron. And 11 days before the presidential election, she signed a non-disclosure agreement and was paid $130,000 in settlements from an LLC founded by President Trump's lawyer. What she's saying is that it's null and void because President Trump's signature is not on the agreement. There's a spot for him there, but his signature isn't there. And she's speaking out mainly because she wants people to understand what the real story is, and she says people are misconstruing information. And if you think that this is going to go away, it probably won't because of the timing of the payments. This is 11 days before an election, and that seems pretty shady. So shady that it might actually warrant an investigation from the Federal Elections Commission because it could be considered campaign payments.
Unfortunately, there is no Behind the Bureau this week, so that wraps it up for Episode 9 of The Washington Bullpen.
Our music is by Brenna Carroll. I'm Julia Caron.
And I'm Jared Gollum. Thanks for joining us.